Begin the current daf, Masechta Shavuos daf dal. Begin 11 lines down for the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is on daf Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara had asked the question, "Who is the Tana of our Mishnah?" Because our Mishnah opened up this parak, this Masechta, regarding different things that are Shtaim Shein Arba, which is that there's going to be four karbanos Eile B'Yayrid, both in the situation of Shavuos and Shavuos Bitui, and one takes an oath of enunciation, and then also regarding Yediyas HaTumah, regarding a lapse of awareness regarding Tumah related to the Mikdash and the Kodesh. That the Gemara said, it's neither like Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Kiva. It's not like Rabbi Shmuel because he says the liability for oaths is only regarding the future. L'haba, l'hara, l'hetiv, not Shehin Arba regarding the past. And according to Rabbi Kiva, he holds the liability for Yediyas HaTumah is only on the lapse of awareness of the Tumah, both in regards to Mikdash and Kodesh, but you're not liable for a lapse of the Mikdash and the Kodesh. So there's no Shein Arba, neither according to Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara answered that actually it's the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel. When Rabbi Shmuel holds there's no liability for the past of taking an oath regarding if I ate or if I didn't eat, which is the past tense, that's only regarding halachas of carbon. Our Mishnah is discussing a liability regarding malchus, regarding getting lashes when one does it deliberately. Carbon is when you do it by mistake. Lashes when you do it deliberately. Regarding that, he holds that that's even going to be regarding the past, and therefore you could say the whole Mishnah is like a Bishmal. It's regarding Yediyas HaTumah that we know he holds that it's even Helam Mikdash or Helam Kodesh or Helam Tumah regarding Kodesh or Helam Tumah regarding Mikdash, which is all four. And also, there's also all four regarding halachas of Shavuos Bitui, because there he holds that in regards to Malchus, it is Shehin Arba, because there's liability of lashes, both regarding the future and regarding the past. Now, on that, the Gemara continues and asks as follows. So, B'maya Kimtzis, how do you explain the Mishnah? Not like the way we assumed in the initial Havamina of the Gemara that we're talking about Karban Oil B'Yerid, that we're talking about Shavu Shayim Shehin Arba is talking about the halachas of Malchus. When one does deliberately, there could be four types of cases of Shavuos and Yediyas HaTumah and so on. So I asked the Gemara, "B'mai Kimtzis, what are you explaining?" Like we said, Rabbi Shmuel ula Malchus is like Rabbi Shmuel, and in regards to halachas of Malchus. So I asked the Gemara, there's two other categories in our Mishnah which are also Shtaim Shen Arba. So Maris Negoyim, my Malchusiker, regarding when someone has a display of a nega on himself, what type of a lashes, what type of violation would a person do regarding the four types of maris to be liable for lashes? Because it seems like the Mishnah is talking in uniformity regarding all the four cases that they share the same halacha. Now, if you're talking about lashes, so what's the lashes regarding maris negoyim? Says the Gemara, b'kaitis b'haras, like tomorrow when someone cuts off his nega, his baharas, which is one of the types of negoyim. Okay, above, a number below. The amr above, a number below. Kamokum shenema hishamar pen va'al. Anytime it says either safeguard or maybe or don't, in the Elolaisa say, it's referring to a negative prohibition. And here it says in the terminology of the Pasuk that someone should be safeguarding regarding his nega. So that tells you that that means there's a Laisa say of not cutting it off. And therefore, yes, for all these four types of maris, which are Shein Arba of Negaim, there is a Laisa say, and if one violates it, he would get lashes. But the Gemara asks now regarding the last category. Yitzia Shtabas, my Malkasika. Regarding someone that does Hitzah on Shabbos, which we said it's Shtaim Shein Arba, there's two types of Yitzis, which are four, because there's also two hachnasas of bringing in from Rishos Shabbos to Rishos HaYachid. What type of lashes would there be for violating the malacha of Shabbos of Hitzah? But Lav, the negative prohibition that it says regarding Shabbos, is not given to have the punishment of Malkus, because Shenit in Laz Horus Mises Bezen, who Chil Shabbos, a malacha on Shabbos, is given to get the death penalty in the court. And Allah is v'cholav shenit la'asaras mises bezdin ain loikin alav. Any negative prohibition that could be given over as a warning to get the death penalty, one does not get lashes. Rather, when someone violates, let's say, the malacha b'itzah, he should be warned that he's going to get the death penalty of being stoned, and he'll get stoned. But if they don't warn him that he's going to get skila, and rather they warn him that he's going to get lashes, then his halacha is not that he gets lashes, because it's not written initially in the malachas of Shabbos to get lashes, it's written to get mises bezdin. So how could you have that case of Yitzias HaShabbos to be Shtaim Shein Arba of Malchus? Says the Gemara, Mishum Hachi Kom Mikmino K'Rabbi Shmuel. That's the reason why we explained the Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning, because we had both, we said the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rabbi Kiva. So we said, oh, you know, we picked Rabbi Shmuel, and we said that, oh, this that he holds that Shavuos Shtaim of Lahaba is not Shein Arba for the past, it's only for carbon. But for Malchus, he would agree, yes. Says the Gemara, you wonder why we picked him and not like Rabbi Kiva? It's because the Amar, he says himself, this Makas, Lav Shanitin La Soros Mises Bezin, a negative prohibition that could be given over to have been warned for the death penalty from the court, if you warn him that he's going to get Malkus and not Misa, like in the love, you do get lashes. It's a brisa of teachers over there that whether it's Chiv Akrisis or whether it's Chiv Mises Bezin, they're all included in the category of getting 39 lashes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, it's not difficult why it's Yitzias Shabbos that you could have Shtayim Shtein Arba regarding Malkus. Because although it's Nit Lasso as Mises Bezin, Rabbi Shmuel holds that you could still get lashes if you want that he's going to get lashes and not the death penalty. Now, on what the Gemara just said, the Gemara asks, what? Halavochi, but if not for this element of Lav Shanit and Lasso as Mises Bezin, if you're looking at it or not, then Kaima Krebi Kiva, then you would say that the Mishnah could be not necessarily only like Rabbi Shmuel, it could even be like Rabbi Kiva. But Kash Yediyas, we have the question that we had on Daf Gimel and Aleph, where it says in the Mishnah Yediyas had Tuma Ashtaim Shein Arba, where according to Rabbi Kiva, it's not Shein Arba, because he doesn't hold that there's a liability for the lapse of the not knowing that this is a carbon or not knowing this is a Mikdash. He only holds that the liability is when you had the lapse of the Tuma in regards to Mikdash or regards to Kedush. So how could you say the Mishnah would be like Rabbi Kiva if not for the fact of that he holds Lav Shanit Lasos Mis Bezin ain't liking the love, and that's only like Rabbi Shmuel holds that you are liking love, but there's a different problem, the initial problem of Gimel, where the Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Kiva because it'd be Diyas Atoma. So that says the Gemara, what do you mean? Lav Amr, didn't you say that Rabbi Shmuel, that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, where we also had a question on his opinion, how could he be the Tana of our Mishnah, regarding Shavuos of the past, regarding carbon, and we explained, oh, it's not difficult, because Ula Malkus, where it talked about regards to Malkus, which that Rabbi Shmuel agrees would be Shein Arba, because that regards to the past, he knows that there would be lashes, and if we weren't difficult. Says the Gemara, so Rabbi Kiva Nami. If not for the question that we're saying right now of Lav Shanit Lasos Mises Bezin regarding Yitzias HaShabbos, where we know Rabbi Kiva says clearly Masechet Makos that you do not get lashes, regards to the question of Gimel regarding the halacha of Yediyas regarding the carbon, regarding Yediyas HaTomo, where he doesn't hold that there's a Shehen Arba of the Helam of Mikdash or Kodesh, that we would explain Ula Malkus. Then we would say that you're right. Although he holds there's no carbon in regards to Halam of Mikdash HaKadosh, but regard to lashes when done deliberately, then you would be Chayiv Malkus, and then you could say that the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva and Shehin Arba as regards to Malkus. Again, if not for the fact of this problem regarding Yitzias HaShabbos. And actually, that would be the preferable way of saying that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva and not like Rabbi Shmuel, because generally we assume all anonymous Tanoic statements go like Rabbi Kiva. Because as the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Pevav Merav says that a Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir, Stam Sefer is Reb Yehuda, Stam Tosef is Reb Nechemya, and they're all according to Reb Kiva because it's from Reb Kiva that they received this tradition, and therefore all the Stamas are all like him, so we definitely would prefer to say, when we had to choose and say, okay, the halach of carbon is difficult both according to Reb Shmuel and Reb Kiva. So we went with Reb Shmuel. But says Gemara, you know why we're in Reb Shmuel? We could have just easily gone to Reb Kiva. It's because of this problem of Yitzias HaShabbos, which that would not work out to get Malkus according to Reb Kiva, that's why we said it's like Reb Shmuel. The Gemara continues asking, Ihachi, but if that's the case, like we're saying from the previous stuff, that the Mishnah is halacha is talking about regards to Shein Arba of Malkus, not regarding carbon, then Yediyas, let's go to the category of Tumma. When it says Yediyas HaTumma, that sounds like that there was a lapse of awareness, and now that the person becomes aware of it. That's the halacha regarding Yediyas HaTumma. But why does it say that? But Hasrois mi ba'ilei, to the contrary. If a Tumma Malkus, that means someone did a deliberate sin. That's lashes is for deliberate, and carbon is when you do it by mistake. So we're talking about Malkus, so it's to say that there was a warning, and to the contrary, that there's no lapse. Lapse means it was done by Shagi. So why is it saying Yidumus, which Yidius, which is insinuating that there was a lapse? No, it lapses by carbon. We're talking about Malkus, which is Yidius, which is Hasros. So this is Maholikash. That's not difficult. In other words, if this is the only question we have so we can answer, Tani Yidius to Hasros. Yeah, in a chanami, meaning Yediyas means to say that he was aware regarding the Tumah because he was warned. Not the way we were learning up until now, that Yediyas means because there was a lapse of awareness and now he's aware of it, so he brings a carbon. No, Yediyas HaTumah means to say he was aware because he was warned. And that is the Gemara, but still, if that's the case, well then why does the Mishnah say regarding Yediyas HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba that there are two, which is really four? But no, Tart Yehudavin. There's actually only going to be two cases. Because the halacha of Malkus is only possible if he's being warned and he recalls the fact that he's Tameh and this is Kodesh, or that he's Tameh and this is the Beis HaMikdash, which you need both variables over there to get Malkus for Kodesh and Malkus for going into the Mikdash in a state of impurity. In other words, if, like we were assuming in the Havamina of the Gemara, that we're talking about Halachas of Karban, there there's four cases. You have Helam Tumah, lapse of awareness of Tumah, and he eats the Karban, and then he remembers that he was Tameh. You have Helam Tumah, and he comes into the Mikdash, and then he remembers that he was Tameh. Or he knew he was Tameh, but he forgot that this was Kodesh, or he forgot that this was the Mikdash, so that's going to be four cases. But regards to Malkus, you need to be able to remember. So you need to know that your tummy and this is the Mikdash, or that your tummy and this is the Kodesh. That's only two cases. What's Shein Arba? Vesu, moreover, what's difficult, says the Gemara, is when it says in the Mishnah, Esheyesh b'yedi b'tchila b'yedi b'seif v'helem ben etzayim. It was describing the primary halacha which the Yedi Satama applies to, in contrast when you didn't know in the beginning or you didn't know at the end, which that the Mishnah says later on, different types of kaparas. But the halacha of the Yediyah Satama that we're talking about, Shtayim Shanarba, says the Mishnah has to be talking about what he knew in the beginning, he knew at the end, and he had a lapse of awareness in the middle when he actually committed the sin, which is either eating the carbon or going to the Mikdash in a state of impurity. Says the Gemara, if you're talking about Malkus, Halama la Malkus Mayavidite, what does a lapse have to do with lashes? Lashes when you do it deliberately. You did not have a lapse. Besu, moreover, asked the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, Hareze ba'ayla b'yared. This is the case when you're going to bring the carbon ayla b'yared. What do you mean? You're explaining that it's talking about when he does it deliberately as a sinner when he gets lashes. So why is it talking about carbon yared? So Elam Rabbi Yisa, rather Rabbi Yisa says you're right. What we said in the previous daf going to this daf, it's that we're talking about like Rabbi Shmuel for Malkus is incorrect. Because obviously we're talking about clearly about the halachas of carbon. Now the question that we had was, but then the initial question of Gimel and Aleph, so the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shmuel and not like Rabbi Kiba, says Rabbi Yisa be right, Rabbi he. The Tana of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva, it's Rabbi Huda Hanasi. And he's the anonymous Tana. And he went and he explained the Mishnah according to two different Tanaim. Be a Diaz Nasavla Rabbi Shmuel. Regards to Allah Hazabi Diaz Adama, there he explained it because he wanted to put all the Shtaim Shen Arbas. So although it's not according to one Tana, but he said the case of Rabbi Diaz Shtaim Shen Arba, that's like Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that even for Helam Tumah of Helam Mikdash or Kodesh, you'd be chayiv for. And b'shavuos nasa l'kir b'kiva, in regards to halachas of shavuos bitui, that only applies according to Rabbi Kiva, that he was saying according to Rabbi Kiva. And not that he was anonymously saying this opinion. Rather, he was saying, regarding shavuos, according to Rabbi Kiva, you can have shtayim shen arba, which is even for the past. And regarding Yediyas HaTumah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you could also have shtayim shen arba, which is even by Helam Mikdash and Kodesh. Amr Vashi, Vashi says, Amrit l'shmaite kamed Rav Kahana. I said this teaching of Rav Yosef in front of Rav Kahana. V'amalin, he said to me, Loitem, don't say the way you said it, Rebbe Nosev La Liba de Tanoi, that what Rav Yosef was saying, that Rebbe was only saying it according to different Tanoic opinions. But V'lei Loi Svira Lei, and that, but he doesn't hold like that. He wasn't anonymously saying that this is the halacha. Ella rather says Rav Kahana, no, Rebbe Taima de Navshi Mefarish. Rebbe was explaining his own opinion. Rebbe was anonymously, according to him, his own self, saying this opinion of the Mishnah, and he holds like that. In other words, in regards to Shavuos, he holds like Rabbi Kiva. In regards to Yedi Satumah, he holds like Rabbi Shmuel. The time like Linda Bryson. We could prove that Rebbe holds like either one by both opinions, and therefore, it's not like that you could say a case of Shtayim Shanarba according to one Tana and a different case according to a different Tana. No, Rabbi Huda Anasi holds by all these four cases at Shtayim Shanarba regarding the Lachas of Karbet. It's kind of like Linda Brysa. Minayin Sheinah Chayiv, Ela Al Sheyesh B'yedi B'tchila, B'yedi B'saif, V'helam En Taim. The opening opinion of this Brysa is coming to explain the Lachah by Mishnah. They explain the Lachah of Yediyah Satoma, of bringing a carbon El V'yared, is only if you knew beforehand, knew your tummy, and then you forgot and ate Kodesh or went to the Mikdash. And then you remembered. How do we know that that's the only way the halacha applies? Tamalayma is because the pasuk teaches v'nelam v'nelam shnei pa'amim. It says two times the word v'nelam, that it was eluded from him, that he had this lapse of awareness by the tumah of when there's by the halachas of tumah, by the obligation of bringing a carbon eilav yared, where it says v'nelam imenabu tamei, that it was eluded to him that he's tamei, and it also says v'nelam imenabu yada, that it was eluded from him and he knew. Now the first time it says v'nelam is coming to teach that because only he's only liable carbon eilav yared when he has halama of tumah, that if he gets that he's tamei, but that he's not chayiv for a helam of the mikdash or the kodesh, because that's what it says. Vanelam men b'hutame. It sounds like the halom is on his tumah. Now the other vanelam is seemingly superfluous to make tabadrasha, where we put the word v'hu yada between the two vanelams, and we darshan that after that he had the yediya, then it was nelam. And to say that because you need to have yediya mitchila, and the reason why we say that is because although yediya is written afterwards, but for yediya afterwards we don't need a pasuk, because if he wouldn't know that he sinned, then why would he bring a carbon? Obviously he knows. So we don't have to say the word v'hu yada after vanilla. Rather, we say it's as if v'hu yada is between the two vanilla. It's a darshan to say that before he had the halama, he had already yediya. So we know yediya b'tchila, then halama, and of course he has yediya b'tchila, because the Rosi wouldn't be bringing this carbon oil b'yarid. That's the Rebbe Akiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva, where we see clearly, which is his opinion, that he holds that the halacha of the yediya satum is only for halamas of tumah in regards to kodesh or mikdash, but not regarding the halama of mikdash or kodesh. But Rebbe, Rebbe says, no, ein tzarach. You don't need to have this halacha, what you're saying. Because Arei Yoyim, the Pasuk says, as we continue to Tamid Beis, vanelam, meaning you are bringing from the two times saying vanelam to bring this halacha of that you have to have yediya, halama, and yediya. Says Rebbe, you don't need to come on to that. It says in the word, the Pasuk, it's vanelam, that, and it was alluded from him. Machlal, the yad, the inference is if that obviously he knew, and then it was eluded from him, which more later on is going to explain how you see that. But that's what Rebbe says. And then it says, v'hu yada, and that he knew. So how he can shtei yediyas? So he already tells us two times yediyas. Being eluded means he once knew, and then it's eluded, and then it says, v'hu yada, he knew. So from that itself, you know that there is yediyah, halom, and yediyah. So, imkei ma'atam alim v'nelam v'nelam. So says Rebbe, so then what is the repetition of the word v'nelam if it's not coming to teach like Rebbe Akiva? It's the chayim al helam tuma v'al helam mikdash. The extra word vanellum is actually coming to teach, not like Rebbe Akiva, and rather that we see obviously Rebbe holds that the liability of halamas tuma is not only halamas tuma regarding mikdash and kaidish, but also regarding halamas of mikdash or kaidish, which is like Rebbe Yishmael. So we see that he holds regarding yediyas tuma like Rebbe Yishmael, that there's a liability of carbon in all four cases. So we see that he's like Rebbe Yishmael regarding yediyas tuma of shtayim shenarba. Says the Gemara, fine. Ashkechan b'yediyas, the isli time of the nafsha. We find by the halacha of yediyas tumah, where his own opinion is mentioned clearly. It says Rebbe Eimer in disagreement with Rebbe Akiva that he holds that yediyas tumah shtayim shenarba. But regarding shvuas, regarding oaths, where the isli time of the nafsha, or as some gersoyas have it, the lesli time of the nafsha, meaning either that where do we that he has his own opinion, or in a case where it's not clearly said his own opinion that he holds that shvuas are shtayim shein arba, that there's going to be a liability even l'sha'avar, minolan. Where do we know that Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Kiva in that halacha, that even l'sha'avar, he's going to hold that there's a liability of a carbon regarding shvuas bita, not like Rebbe Shmuel, who held this only l'haba. Says the Gemara Svaru, it's based on logic. Now, Lishna Achrina, another version, which is seemingly saying the same idea, is Ashkechon b'yediyas to sovel k'Rebbe Shmuel. We find b'yediyas to tuma that he holds like Rebbe Shmuel. B'shvuas to sovel k'Rebbe Kiva menolam. Where do we know regards to shvuas bitoy that he holds like Rebbe Kiva that it's even a sha'avar? Says the Gemara Svaru, it's based on logic. Explains the Gemara. Rebbe Kiva ma'itamu k'machayv l'sha'avar. What's the reason for Rebbe Kiva's opinion that he holds that regarding shvuas that the liability is not only lahaba like it says in the pasuk lahaita lahara or lahaita, but it's even for the past achalti or v'loya achalti? That's because the darish ribuyi umeuti. It's because he expounds the Torah in a way of inclusionary and exclusionary terms. Now, this way of expounding the Torah of ribuy and mut is learned out later on in the third paragraph of Chavav Med Aleph, where he wouldn't darshan the Torah as the price of Rebbe Shmuel that we say every morning in Karbanis before Pesukah de Zimra, that you darshan the Torah in what's known as klal and prat, not as in general statement and specific, but rather as ribu inclusionary and mute as exclusionary. So in regards to halachas of shvuas, Rebbe Kiva expounds the pesukim as follows. It says, nefesh kisi shava, if a person is going to make an oath, sounds like any type of an oath. Then when it says lahara or lahetiv, to do bad or to do good, that's excluding, that's a diminishing the ribu, because it's teaching that the liability is only for something that's similar to the mute, which is for the future tense, which is like lahara lahetiv, is going in the future. Now, that would be if it only said ribuy mut, if it didn't have anything more in the pasuk. Now, that wouldn't be the way the one who holds klala prat, because if he held klala prat, the word lahara lahetiv would be explaining the klal, and therefore you only would be able to include in the halacha of Shavuot only what's written in the Prat, which is only to do bad or to do good, and nothing else even regarding the future, which if it's not bad or good. Because whoever darshans the Torah klal leprat, they hold ein b'chlal ela masha b'prat. The only thing included in the general statement is what's mentioned in the specific. Now, then when it has klal leprat uklal, another klal coming after the prat, like actually it is in our halach of Shavua, where it says afterwards, l'chol asher yivatei, whatever he's going to say out of his lips. So that would be enough if you held klal leprat uklal to add on to the prat through the last klal, things which are not exactly bad or good, but at least has to be similar to what's called ke'ena prat, similar to the specific, it's in regard to the future tense, but nothing in regard to the past tense. Now, which is because the past would be not similar at all to the prat of the klal. So that's what it helps because of the first klal, which is being diminished from by the prat. So we say klal prat the klal, iatadun il ke'ena prat. That has to be just like the specific. In other words, then you could add on to the prat through the last klal. But if you're going to But you cannot go ahead and add on anything more than what's at least similar to the prat. In contrast, whoever expounds the Torah in a riba and a miut, so then the specific is not explaining, it's not like the prat that's explaining the klal. Rather, all the miut is doing to the riba is just diminishing the riba a little bit. In other words, not everything is included in the first riba, rather things that are like that, which even without the last ribui, it would sound like things that are similar to the miut. Now, therefore, when the last ribui comes, what's called ribui miut or ribui, that's coming to include almost everything, even things that are not ke'ena prat. And the miut then would only be diminishing one thing which is the most unlike the general category more than anything else. And that's how Rabbi Kiva expounds in the third parak regarding this kisei shava, where the only thing he's diminishing from the miyat is only if someone takes a shvur levatles a mitzvah. That's something that's the most unlike, where there he's going to go, that is not going to be chayiv in the carbon of the shvur. But everything else, including lahaba and lasha'avar, lahara or lahaitiv, were all going to be included in the halacha of a carbon shvur. Because when we say klal prat, prat means like a word of pirush, which is qualifying. So when you have klal prat, ein mechal al mashal prat, only thing in the klal is what's in the prat, because that's qualifying the klal. In contrast, miut is not a pirish, it's just memait, it's diminishing the understanding of what's in the general category just by a little bit, and it excludes just a little bit what's not exactly similar to that. As the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, and Vav Min Alf, when it says Behumas Vesalisa, where it's a riba and a miut, so you bring everything what's similar to the prat without the last riba, which is similar to like what you have klal prat or klal. That's what you have with just a ribu and miut. So explains the Gemara, why does Rabbi Kiva hold that the liability of Shavuot's bitui is not only like Rabbi Shmuel Labo, but even L'sha'avar, because he holds ribu and miut or ribu, which we said includes everything. Rabbi Nami darish ribu yame ute. Rabbi also expounds, as we find elsewhere, as the Gemara is going to explain, that he also darishes the Torah in the mashmois of ribu and miut, and not in the mashmois of klal prat. So therefore he's going to hold, just like Rabbi Kiva, in the psukim that we just described regarding Shavuot's bitui, which we see according to Rabbi Kiva, since he holds Rabbi Mut includes even L'sha'avar, that's how we know that Rabbi, based on Svarah, is also going to say the same thing, because he also holds the Torah Darshans in Rabbi Mut. How do we know? This is a telling Linda Brysa. Rabbi Yaim, he says, Bakol Paid Mechar Adam. A person can use anything to redeem his firstborn son, to give that 5 shloim worth to the kain, except for documents. In other words, if let's say someone had a document that on it was a deed that he owes him 5 slum, and he gives that document of debt to the kohen in the redemption of his son, then the son is not going to be redeemed. But anything else he uses of value that's worth 5 slum, he can redeem his son with that. Rabban Amri, they disagree with him, as mentioned in Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus, as the Mishnah there teaches, Bakol Paid Mechayr Adam. They hold you can redeem a firstborn son with anything. Chutz, they have 3 exclusions. Me'avadim, slaves, shtaris, documents, bekarkois, and land. So the Gemara explains, my time of the Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe? Why does he only exclude shtaris? Because darish ribuye umi ute, because he expounds the term, that's what we're proving, in ways of inclusionary and exclusionary terms. Because the pasuk says regarding Pidnya Ben, it says in Bamidbar, it says, ufiduye mi ben chaydish, his redemption is when he's 1 month old, 30 days old, which sounds like you could redeem with anything. That's a riba, that's including everything. Then when the pasuk says be'erkecha kesef chamesha shkolim, in your value of 5 shkolim worth of silver, well, that's miyut, that's excluding. That's saying only kesef. Then when it says tifta, you redeem him, well, that's chazav riba, that goes back, and it's another general statement. So you have riba, amiyut, v'riboy, including everything, diminishing, including everything. So riba kol, that's including everything. My riba, what are you including? Kol mili, anything that's worth value, you can redeem the sum with. Well, my miyut, but then we said, but the miyut is excluding something, the most unlike everything else. That's miyut shtaris, that's what Rabbi says, that's excluding, that's diminishing documents, because that's the most that should be excluded, because it's not even money. It's not, doesn't have any intrinsic value. It's just a piece of paper. It's just, it says that we'll honor that as if it's money. Maybe it's backed by something, but it's not worth anything. So that's what's excluded. In contrast, Rabbanon darshi kloli prati. They expound the Torah in ways of klal and prat. So ufidu yiv mi ben chaydish klal. When it says and that his redemption is from 1 month old, again, that's a general statement. Be'erkecha kesef chamisha shkolim prat. When it says in your value in the 5 shkolim worth of silver, that's a specific. It's qualifying. What type of redemption? That of silver. Tifta, when it says to redeem him, chazav akol, goes and says another general statement. Now, as Rashi points out, although, and as the Gemara will actually point this out later on, although the tifta and peduya, those two kolom, are written actually right near each other, and only after that does it say the prat of be'erkecha kesef, there are tanoim that hold that even when you have the two kolom, one near each other, and the prat is afterwards, you put the prat between them, and you qualify it like a kolom, prat, a kolom. So you have, like the Gemara says, klal, prat, klal, general, specific, and general. That Allah is, iatadon, elkeinah, prat, then you only qualified that whatever you're including has to be at least similar to the specific. Now, so ma, prat, just like the specific, that of kesef, is mefurish, is something that's as explicitly dav and metalta, something that can be moved, v'gufay moment, and has intrinsic value. I've called dav and metalta v'gufay moment, so to anything that's movable, and its intrinsic value is monetarily. Yatsu karkois, that excludes land, she'ena metalim, which are not movable. Yatsu avadim shuksha karkois, that excludes slaves that are compared in the Torah to land, like the pasuk says, v'snachatam oisam, we use the same law of inheritance for the land as is for slaves. And yatsu shtaris, and that also excludes documents, because avabisha metalim, even though it's movable, in gufa mammon, it's not intrinsically worth something, because the paper is not worth anything. It only is a proof of something, and therefore that's excluded. But one thing we see is that Rebbe holds like both Rebbe Shmuel in regards to the halachas of Tumah, and he holds like Rebbe Kiva in regards to halacha of Yeshuas. So therefore, that's what Rav Kahana was saying. Don't just say he's saying it according to Tanoim. He himself holds in both of them that there's going to be a carbon in both Shavuos and regards to Yedis HaTumah. However, on that asked the Gemara, Amli Ravin La Meimar, Rebbe Darish Ribuya Me'uti, are you really saying that Rebbe expounds the Torah in ways of Riba Me'ut? But Rebbe klali a prati darish, but I can prove that Rebbe holds that you darish in Torah in klal and prat, because it's time to learn the brisa. Pasuk says in Devarim in regards to halachas of the Eved Ivri, who wants to stay past his 6 years, wants to stay on until the Yovel year. So the pasuk says v'lekach te'es ha, you take like the Gemara quotes the marzeya, the awl, some type of a drilling instrument, and you put his ear by the door and you bore a hole in it and you say, okay, you're a slave forever, which means up until the Yovel year. Says the Braisa, Ainli Ela Marzeya, I would only know from the Pasa you could use an awl. Minayin L'Rabbis Sassasul, how do you know that you could even do this ritsui, this boring of the lobe of the ear with a sharp piece of wood like a splinter, or Vahasira, or a thorn, or a machet, or a needle, or a magdiach, or a gimlet, which is also some type of a T-shaped corkscrew, or Vahamachdev, or a stylus. How do I know that these all could be used? That's the pasuk teacher, but it says v'lekachta, that you should take it, which is called davar shenilkach b'yad. Anything that's taken by the hand that can make a hole in his ear could be used. That's divrei Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Rabbi Yaimi, he says no. It says marzeya. It says an awl. Ma marzeya miyuchad shel matches. Just like an awl is something that's distinct, that it's made out of metal. Of kol shel matches, also anything that's metal. In contrast to the splinter or to the thorn, they're not made out of metal. They cannot be used. V'aminan, we said, b'maykimivli. What are they disagreeing about? Is because Rebbe Darish Klali Uprati. Rebbe expounds the pasuk in the way of Klal Uprat. So when it says Vlakachta, you could take, that's a Klal. Marzeya is a Prat. Then when it says Vinasatav Azna, you put it in his ear, it's anything that can be put, which is another Klal. So Maha Prat Mefor is just like the Prat is explicitly has to be something in metal. So to anything including has to be also metal. Whereas Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda Darish, he expounds the Torah as we continue to have a Hayyam and Aleph, Ribuyi Umiyute. which is, it includes everything and only excludes the most unlike it, which is not using any instrument at all, but rather using a potion, some type of a liquid, which would bore a hole in the ear, as the Gemara explains himself this condition. So you see that Rabbi holds Kalal Prat, so how could he say he holds Rabbi Meir, and that's how he's saying he holds like Rabbi Kiva regarding Shavuos, Shtayim Shen Arba. So the Gemara says, and you're right. Like you're proving from this Braisa, but Alma Kloli Prati Darsh. You're right, Rabbi usually expounds the Torah in Kalal Prat. But over here, in the previous proof that we brought, regarding the halachos of Pinya Ben, the reason why he expounds the halach over there in Ribbe and Miut, and that's why we said he includes Karaka and Avadim, he only excludes Shtaris, because he's learning Ribbe Muit, is hind the time, and the reason is because actually, as we pointed out before, the Prat is not between the two klal. As we said, Podi Tifta are actually, they're right near each other, the Kesef is written afterwards. And Kedetan, the Rebbe Shmuel, like it was taught in the Brisa B'Shiv Rebbe Shmuel in Perek Elu Treifus, where there is a Tana that expounds. It says in the Pasuk, "Ezet Teichlam Kol Hashabemayim." When it's talking about the types of kosher fish, these are the type of fish you could take from the water. That's klal. It says a general statement. When it says "Biyamim B'Nechalim" in the seas and in the streams, well, that's prat. That's specifically. When it says "Bemayim" again in the waters, that's Chazal Kol. It says a general statement. All types of waters, which they learn it as a klal prat a klal. On that, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel disagrees and says no. The Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk reads, "By Yikra Perigid Alf Pasuk Tes," it says, "Ezet Toichlu Mekol Hashem B'Mayim," and this you could eat from whatever is in the water. Kol Hashem Leis Nabev Bekaskes, whatever has scales and fins, by Mayim in the water, by Yam in the Cholim in the season in the streams. Oisim Toichlu, that's what you should eat. So says the Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, "B'Mayim B'Mayim Shnei Pa'am." It says the word in the waters two times near each other. It only says B'Yam in the Cholim, which is the prat. Afterwards, therefore, says Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, "Ain't that klal prat? That's not a klal prat. Ella, rather, although you're going to put bayam lecholim between the two mayims, but you're going to expound it in the way of riba omiyut. Then you expound it not as klal prat, but rather as inclusionary, exclusionary, and inclusionary. And therefore, it's going to have a different halacha than if you say klal or prat klal. So that is why Rebbe holds over there by Pinya Ben, just like Tanu Rabbi Shmuel holds like by the kosher types of fish." Aquatic creatures, that it's different than generally. Although you'll usually say, as he says over here regarding the laws of Marzeya, that klal prat klal, when it's not klal then prat then klal, rather it's klal klal then prat, then you're actually going to do it differently as in ribu mit and ribu. In contrast, Rabbanu, who disagree with Rebbe, and they do expound it as klal prat, as we brought before, on Ravina says, "Kedami b'mer Rabba." That's because, like they say in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, "Kamokum shatamoytish they klal it's a smucha zelazeh." Wherever you find that the two klalim are right near each other, and the prat is only mentioned later, hatel prat b'neim. Like we said, that those tanam who do say that, then you put the prat between them, v'dun the mechalal prat, and then you expound it still as a klal or prat or klal. Now the Gemara concludes, "Hashadamid Rebbe klali prati darsh." But now that we ended up reversing and saying that no, Rebbe does not hold Rebbe Meir. Only theory holds Rebbe Meir because it's not the two, it's not the klal and then prat and klal. It has the two klal near each other. So then, bal karchuch kasha shvus. Then we're back to the question. Then it's difficult. How does the Mishnah say shvus daim shen arba, including even l'sha avar? That's only behold Rebbe and Meir, like Rebbe Kiva holds. But Rebbe Shmuel and so too Rebbe Kiva and so too Rebbe doesn't hold that shvus daim shen arba because it's not going to be l'sha avar. So who's the Tana of the Mishnah like? Elarav, this is the Gemara, not like the way Rav Kahana said it. B'shvuas, nosabat libud Rebbe Kiva. You're right, it's not Rebbe's opinion, the whole Mishnah. Yes, by Yediyas of Tamadach, he could be like a Bishmol, like we proved. But regarding the Shvuas, Taim Shanarba, he only explained it according to Rebbe Kiva, but Valele, Svirle, but he himself actually does not hold like that. He doesn't hold that B'shvuas, Taim Shanarba, he holds it's only going to be Lahaba, and not L'Shavah, it's only like Rebbe Kiva, who holds the Torah as Rebbe Amir, as we said before, is going to include even L'Shavah. So again, the Tanna Mishnah is not like Rebbe Shmuel, it's not like Rebbe Kiva, and it's Rebbe who, it's not even like Rebbe himself, but rather he's saying the halachas like different Tanaim, you like Rebbe Shmuel, he actually holds like that himself, regarding Yedis HaTom, Mishtayim Shon Arba, regarding being Chayav Karban, even the Hel HaMikdash and Kodesh, not like Rebbe Kiva, but regarding Shvu Mishtayim Shon Arba, that he doesn't hold that it's going to be even the Sha'avar, because he holds Yedash and the Torah Klal Prat HaKlal, but he explained it according to Rebbe Kiva again, because he wanted to say all the Shtayim Shon Arbas, so he said it even according to other Tanoic opinions.